Yep. Okay, so the examples are here under site resources. Those are the examples. And as I said, I'm going to go over the key ones, but I'm not going to go over absolutely everything because we looked at that in the PDF. So be sure, if you didn't look at the PDF, you look at it now, or not now, but this week. Okay, the first one I'm going to look at is HTML5 CSS headers. Okay, so this one, there's a few things that you should notice that are different. Number one is the color. Okay, we didn't look at color before. Color is done with something called CSS, which gives us style. So again, if I come in here and do a view page source, that will give me the color, or the code that will show the color. Okay? So I'm going in here and I'm going to view text size increase. So, oh good. That little box every once in a while shows up and it decided to show up. So it will be here for the duration. Okay, because I can't make it go away without rebooting. In my HTML page, if I want to use style, and style lets me do color and things like that, I put in inside the head. Notice I have head and then I have title. I write style, type equals text, CSS. And there are other ways to do style as well, but this is the way we're going to do it today. So I said style, type equals text, CSS. CSS stands for cascading style sheets, and it's a way to give style to the page. Now, what I do when I want to do the style is I write the tag that I want to style out here. So I want to style body, I want to style H1s, I want to style H2s, etc. H1s, H2s are headers, okay? And H1 headers are big. H2 headers are a little bit smaller. H3 headers are a little bit smaller. And it keeps going down to H6 headers, which are basically tiny. So I said here, okay, for the body, and remember I have a body tag down here. So for the body, I want the background color to be beige and the color to be brown. Color means font color. So I want the default font color to be brown. And I want the background color to be beige. And notice that if you look at it, that the background on my page is beige. And the font color, you can see a couple of different font colors, but one of them is brown. Okay, so how did I do this? Well, I wrote the body, and then the stuff that I want to apply to the body, I put inside these curly braces. Now, the curly braces don't have to be the way I did them, which is they each have a line of their own. I could have written that all on one line. I could have said body, space, curly brace, background color beige, color brown, close curly space, curly brace. So I could have done it all on one line. Okay? I think it's clearer done this way, so this is the way I do it. A lot of people take the first curly brace and put it on the same line as body. Again, it's how you want to do it. It doesn't matter. It will accept it most anyway. So I'm saying here body, and then I have to tell it what it is that I want to change. And these are called properties. so I want the background color. And you can't just make up words. Okay? There are CSS words. And if you do a search for CSS, you can come up with a whole lot of words that you can use. W3 Schools is a great reference. Okay? So I've given you most of the ones that I think you need to use. If you want to do some research on CSS and make it more elaborate, then go check it out, do a search, Google it, or go to W3 Schools and look up CSS. So I've chosen two things here. I said background color, and I said color. And again, that's the default font color. So I've said my background color is going to be beige, and my default font color is going to be brown. And again, I went over this in the PDF and the audio that I put up there for Tuesday. Then I decided, okay, that's what I want to do with the body. Then I said, all right, H1. And I've got an H1 down here. H1 is header 1. I want that header to be red. I want its font color to be red. So for just a split second, it was brown. But now I'm saying, no, if it's H1, make it red. Okay? And then I said I want it to be text aligned into the center. So I want it to be in the center of the page. So if I come over here and look, there it is in the center of the page. So I said that header 1 should be red and it should be put in the center. Then I said header 2, I want to be blue and I want it to be text aligned over to the right. And header 2 is a little bit smaller than header 1. And then I said, okay, header 3, I want to be green and I want that to be in the center. And header 3 is a little smaller than header 2. Now, when I'm writing a page, I can use a whole lot of header 1s. I can use a whole lot of header 2s. I can use them wherever I want to use them. Okay? I can use a header 1, and it will be a little bit bigger. Now, the one thing about headers is, like paragraphs, headers leave a blank line after them. So you can see, or probably not see too clearly, but there is a blank line between the header 1 and the header 2. And then there's a blank line between the header 2 and the header 3. Okay. So those made that color. And then I said, okay, the UL, and my UL is down here, and it was the unordered list. And I said, everything in the unordered list, I want to be red. And so, these three things in the unordered list are red. Everything inside the ULs is now red. Okay? So, everything inside the UL is now red. So, that lets me do style. When I'm done with style, I need to close it. And that is critical. If you forget to close style, sometimes you'll just get nothing on the screen. It just collapses. Okay? So you need to close the style, close the head, and start the body. So then in the body, I put the six headers. H1, H2, H3, H4, H5, H6. I changed the style on H1, H2, and H3. I left H4, 5, and 6 alone. Then I put in a paragraph. Then I put in an ordered list. And then I put in an unordered list. Questions? As in, could you do this now? Or do you have questions? Yeah. Pat's on his way. Yeah.
Do you have to do style before body, or does it matter?
Yes. There are three ways to do style, and we're only covering this way. Way two is to have an external style sheet, so make your own page for the style. And way three lets you come down and embed style inside the tag right down here. That's not the preferred way of doing it. So basically, this way that I've just showed you, or an external style sheet, are the best ways. The world considers the best ways. Okay? Yeah.
Under the style type up here, this body does not make the less than a greater than.
No, you're right. And I actually meant to come back to that and forgot. Down here, the body's in the tag symbols to tell it that it's a tag. Up in the style, it just uses the word and says, and style knows that it's talking about tags out there. There are other things you can do in style that we're not going to go into in this class, but for now, the only thing we're going to style is something that we're using down here. So the body, the H1, the H2, the H3, the UL are all things I'm using down there.
That's because it's modifying the body, not starting.
That's right, right.
Okay.
And in fact, if I put it in the things, then it would have been, probably wouldn't have gotten confused, but it might have, because I've got style up there, so it has already started thinking differently. Once I put the word style, it starts thinking differently, because it's thinking of this as CSS as opposed to HTML. So what I've basically done is I'm embedding CSS inside HTML. And the word style says, okay, we're no longer in HTML, now we're in CSS. And when I close the style, it says, okay, now we're back to HTML. Okay. Questions? Yeah.
Would it be, is it, like, how would you go about doing multiple colors for a header? Would you just put it in different colors, or
one header in different colors?
Yeah.
That's a good question. There is a tag called span.
Yeah.
And so if you wanted to change the color, you could write the part you wanted to have one color, then put the tag span, write the rest, close span, and then up at the top have the span set up for a different color.
Oh.
Okay. Questions? Okay. Yeah.
Could you set up two separate files, the CSS and the HTML?
Yes. And if you want to do that, read about it. I'm not doing it here. You can also look in the 122 course I teach because I've got examples of it there. But yes, I mean, there's an incredible amount you can do with that. We're spending a week on it, so we're doing an itsy bitsy amount compared to what you can do. Feel free as you're making the page to experiment and look stuff up and get as creative as you want to get. And W3 Schools is a great place to go if you want to get creative. So the requirement is that you kind of do pretty much use the things that I've done. But if you want to expand upon that, that's terrific. Have a good time, and it's lots of fun. Okay, you can really make some interesting stuff on the web pages. Questions? Yeah.
On the introduction, you said you wanted us to include a picture.
Yes.
And I just can't figure out how to do that.
If you have a, well, we're going to get there in a second. So let's put that on hold. As a matter of fact, right there. Okay. Oh, good. Now I've got two of those. No idea what I'm doing. But please ignore the fact that I've got a load of those little boxes. Because the only way I can get rid of them is to reboot.
Right.
And I have no idea what I was doing that made those happen. But anyway, ignore the little boxes. To get an image, what I've got there is a tag called IMG. It's control plus plus. Okay, so what I've got there is a tag called IMG. And so I say image, and I say source equals, and I put the name of the image there. Now that's assuming that the name of the image is on your hard drive and you've got it someplace. It needs to be in the same directory as the page if you're going to do it this way. So this has to be in CISA GIF, has to be in the same directory as the page. Okay? If it's going to be someplace else, you got to do an address, and we'll talk about that in a second. So I'm going to say image source equals, and then I write the name of the image. Now, when you send this to me, you need to send me both the page and the GIF or the JPEG or whatever you're using as attachments. Then I will save them in my I have a directory for each of you, just a sec. I have a directory for each of you. I will save the page and the image in that directory, and then I'll bring up your page, and since the image will be in the same directory, it will find your page, your image.
Would it be easier just to link it to our Facebook profile picture or something? Would that be easier?
Probably easier, and yes, you can do that, and not my preference.
Okay.
Because I just think it's better to have done the experimenting of making it work.
Okay.
But I don't care that much, so you can do it that way. What he's saying is, if you have the address for an image in Facebook, you can say source equals quote and paste the whole address in there. Or if you have an address for something that's out on the web, you can paste a whole address in there. So you can paste in the address of where the image is inside the quotes. Okay? I mean, the other thing you can do is if you have something in Facebook, you can right-click on it and save the image. And then save it in the same directory as the page, and you'll be all set. Yeah.
You say directory. File.
Directory means folder.
All right, so the same folder that I have the Notepad HTML.
That's right, exactly. So you save it, the image in the same folder directory that has the page, and then you don't have to tell it where it is. You can just say that image because it's in the same folder and it's smart enough to look in that folder. If you put it someplace else, it doesn't know where you put it. So therefore, you have to give it an address. Okay, so if you put it someplace else, you've got to give it an address where it can go. So, in my opinion, the easiest thing to do is save the image in the same directory as the page. And then you can find it very easily. Or rather, the browser can find it very easily and bring it up. If you're having problems, again, send it to me. If there's a problem, I'll get back to you. So we can go back and forth until it gets right. So that will work fine. Now, image is like BR. There's no close on image. Notice image, there's no close on image. It's like BR, there's no close on BR. LIs have closes, OLs have closes, paragraphs have closes. There's no close on an image or a BR. So there's my image. Now, in the next one, I decided to center the image. And this is a copy and paste. If you want to center an image, that's the style that you use. You say image, and then you say display as a block, and then you say margin left auto, margin right auto. And that means that it will make margin left and margin right the same. And so that ends up centering it. So if you want to center your image, copy and paste those lines.
Yep.
Okay, those are the lines that will center your image. And you just want to copy and paste them and use those lines. Questions? Pat will be here today from 2 to 4 and tomorrow from 3 to 11.
No, 11 to 3.
11 to 3, yes. Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, that was really fun too. From 3 to 11 tomorrow. I am not sure he knows where he will be yet, but he will tell people at the help desk where he is. And the help desk is in the lab in the middle of the building. There is a help desk.
Tomorrow I'll be in here.
Tomorrow you'll be in here. There's nothing happening. Okay. 11 okay, 11 to 3, he'll be here tomorrow. So if you're having problems and you're around tomorrow or today, he and I are both going to be available at 2 today. And probably in K-118 for that. Okay? So if you're having any problems and you want to go over it, take advantage of us, because we will be here. Okay. This is setting up a table. And I did it twice, once where I centered it and once I didn't. So this is a table, and I'm going to try to find the code so I can show you the table. Okay. Bring up your own source code if you can, because I'm having trouble. If I expand this, it's not going to be very viewable. So bring up this example. This example is a center table. And look at the source code so that you can see it a little bit better. What I'm doing here is I'm creating a table. And the tag to do that is table. Then I'm creating, if you look at this table, I'm creating two rows. The first row has the word and the image. And the second row has two sets of words. And forget that lovely little thing that got put in there. So, on the first row, TR tells me it's a row. So I say TR, and when I'm done with that row, I do a close of the TR. And then I start another TR, and when I'm done with that, I put a close of the TR. And then I close the table. Now, within the row, I am putting in two cells. The first cell is TD. And it says, this is the first cell of the table. And then I close the TD, and I open another TD, and I put an image in there. And then I close the TD. Then I close the row. Then I started another row, and I put words in the first TD and words in the second TD. Now notice the table size. It basically tries to accommodate whatever you're putting in. So this first row got this height because I was putting an image in there and it needed that height. The width is determined by what I wrote down in the bottom row. It looked at it and said, that's how much room I need. And so this row is the same. So the rows I'm sorry, the cell width and height is basically the web browser figuring out what will accommodate what you want to put in. If it can't accommodate it, it will wrap. Yeah.
If I want to keep that same width, but just go the next line down, like just put it right there.
When I want to start another line, okay, yes, all right. You mean text inside? Yes, you can do the BR afterward. Yep. And then it knows it should break down to the next line. I didn't follow what you were saying for a minute, but that's what it is. Okay. So, that's how it will work. And then because I wanted to center the table, I said table margin auto, and that meant the left and right both would be the same. And so just writing margin auto in the case of a table centers the table. Now, the table ordinarily does not come with the lines around it, and I wanted the lines around it. So my table has a border of solid thick. And you can see that that goes all around the table. And my TD has a border of solid thin, which means that each cell has a border. The TD is a cell. Why they call it TD, I don't know. But anyway, the TD is a cell. And when I said I want the TD to have a border that's solid and thin, it puts a thin little line around each cell. I had made my default color navy up with the body, so that means everything is navy. Actually, I said an LI is green, but I don't have any LIs in here, so nothing's green. Every once in a while, copy and paste gets you in trouble. So I clearly copied the LI from something that had the LI and didn't notice that I didn't have an LI. It doesn't care. I can have a very complete style that talks about things that aren't there and it just ignores them. So it doesn't care. So maybe I did that on purpose, right? Yeah.
If you wanted the border of the table to be a different color, would you just stick the color in, like,
yeah,
in with the
okay. Yeah. Yep. In fact, that's actually a good chance to bring up W3 schools. Okay, so if you wanted to find out about border color in CSS. Okay, so I'm putting in there border color CSS. Hello? And as I said, W3 Schools is a great place to go for it. So I'm going to take this W3 Schools, and it says border style solid, border color, and it lets me put a color in. Now, it is showing a color in hexadecimal. If you care about the shades of colors, then you want to learn hexadecimal and figure out the shades, and there's charts of them that you can follow. For the fairly standard colors, I just write red, yellow, orange, green, and you don't have to write it this way. You can say border color red, and it would be red. Border color green, and it would be green. Okay? If you want to fine-tune your colors, color names, it's a wonderful world. They have got a name for just about any color you want. They used to only have names for red, orange, yellow, green, blue. But now we have Alice Blue, Antique White, Blanched Almond, Cadet Blue, Burly Wood, etc. Okay, so if you really care about your colors, feel free to come in here and choose one of these meaningful names and stick it in, and you'll get colors of that color. Okay. Somebody spent a lot of time coming up with these colors, folks, so they really want you to use them. Okay? The way that you saw it when I showed it to you, it was giving the hexadecimal code. And that's the hexadecimal code that you can also use when you're telling me the color. Okay? So, if you want to, go to W3 Schools, look up colors, and you can get very creative in your coloring. Okay, questions. Now what I would like you to do is to dig out the email that was sent to you that gave you your username and password, so that you can get into the Linux server. Okay, your username and password to get into the Linux server. And that's what we're going to do.
This called, the subject line was called CIS Web Login Information, and it was sent by Eric.Oldford.
What date?
I have 121. Yep, school email. Or whatever school sending the email to.
I think they've actually now pretty much back to you the first
one. Yeah.
They experimented with our last
Okay, I thought, well, I mean, if they forward it to like the main emails or whatever, yeah, right,
but I forward to mine, but nobody knows. They don't know, I mean, they know that, but
yeah,
it doesn't show up in my email list.
Yeah, I forwarded mine to Gmail.
Okay. So if you can't find it, it looks to be from Eric Oldford, and it looks to have been sent sometime in the last week. So, yeah. Good, now I got three of those. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that around that area. Right. Yeah.
You're gonna want the Linux. We're gonna go there, but we're gonna use WinSCP.
Yeah. WinSCP.
Okay, what we're gonna use to do this is WinSCP. And WinSCP on my computer at least is up there, and I suspect that's where it is on yours. WinSCP. Now, WinSCP is a free download. So if you have a laptop or a desktop and you want to download it, you can go and do a Google on it and find it. I think I put the address actually on the page.
It's free.
It's free, and you can download it for home. But when you're in our labs, it's easily available. So I am clicking on WinSCP.
Make sure when you do download, click on the right download button, because you'll see like the, oh, download this. You know, make sure you download the
button. Okay, so there's WinSCP. And I'll try to get it away from my three squares now. Okay, so the host name is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. cisweb.bristolcc.edu.
If anyone's having issues, raise your hand.
Okay. That's the host name. Now, in my handout, I think I said bristol.mass.edu. And that still works. But they would prefer us to switch over to bristolcc. And I haven't changed my handout yet. So, cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Then you're going to come down and put in your username and your password. Don't touch anything else.
We're downloading it ourselves. Do you want the commander or the explorer?
Do you remember? I haven't downloaded it so long ago. Okay. So for now, pretty much stick to here if you can. CISweb.bristolcc.edu. Username and password. Okay? The username and password are the ones that are on that email. Now what you want to do is click on login. And I don't quite know what went wrong. Is anybody else having that problem?
Yeah,
tell
me it's not working.
CISweb.bristol worked in my last class.
You probably typed just Bristol like I did.
I don't know.
I could try logging twice.
Okay. Okay, so there I've got it and log in, and now it seems to like me. I think actually I hung around too long, probably. So this is what comes up, and I can't believe that I've got all those little boxes, but anyway. This is what comes up. You need to go into public HTML. And see public.html. We need to go into public.html. Okay. So you're going to click on public HTML. Now I've got a gazillion things in my public HTML. You're going to probably have one thing that says index.html. And the host of CISweb. Pardon me?
I was asking if anyone else is having any issues right now. All right.
Is anybody, everybody in? Okay. So you go into public HTML. Now, you can either choose to make a folder or choose not to make a folder. I'm going to make a folder, so I'm going up here to Files. New directory. Files, new directory. Okay? So I'm going to Files, new directory. And what in blazes is going on? There's something happening in the connection over here. Because it keeps splashing away. Anyway, let's try that one more time. Files, new directory. And I'm going to give it a name, and I'm going to call it CIS120S15 for Spring 15. Okay, so that's what I'm doing, is I'm making a folder. And I called it CIS120S15. And then I said, okay. I called it CIS120S15 to tell me that it's spring of 15. Okay? Now, everybody got that okay? Now I'm going to click on that folder, and now I've got an empty folder because it's a brand new folder. Now I can drag something over. What I've got is this side of the screen is talking about my computer, my hard drive, my flash drives, whatever. This side of the screen is talking about the server. So I'm putting things up on the server. So, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to look in my T drive, and I'm betting I'm going to have something with an HTML on it in my T drive, and I do. I have one that says, Hello World Twice. So, or First 2015, I think that's actually one that we did the first day. So I'm going to grab First 2015 and drag it over.
HTML file?
Yes, an HTML file.
I don't have that folder.
Okay. You don't have an HTML file. If you have an HTML file on your flash drives, put your flash drives in. If you don't have an HTML file, write one quick. Okay, can you get to the OneDrive there or not? Probably not. I didn't try that. No, right. So go see what you can find on the T drive. Just click on that. It's up to the T drive. It's probably something, yeah. There's something that has HTML, whatever that is. And you might have something inside that folder, actually, yeah. Cancel that, go inside that folder. Nope, that was Visual Basic, obviously, so no, go back and take that other one. Anything that has an HTML extension. Okay? So now I am going to click on copy, and it's copied it over there. So now I've got something with an HTML extension sitting there in my directory, right? If I right-click on it and click on edit, I can actually see the code that I wrote. So if I right-click it and click on edit, I can see the code that I wrote. I can actually go in and change it. So edit lets me change it. I can add another LI on there if I want to. And I can go in and say, okay, I'm going to have another LI that is going to say fourth item in the list. And then close my LI. So basically, I have this LI that I've just added. So I can go and edit and make changes to my page. Now, a word of warning. They don't back up your directories very well on this. So therefore, if you really want to keep hold of something, keep it as a back it up someplace. Put it on your flash drive, put it on your hard drive, put it someplace, but have a backup of it. In other words, don't count on it. Okay, so now I've got it. Now what I want to do is I want to see it in my browser. Okay? So, I'm going to bring up my browser. And I'm going to put an address in here. And the address starts out as cisweb.bristolcc.edu. That's what you typed in as the host, remember? So when I want to go out and find it, I have to tell it what the host is. The host is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. And I'm going to highlight this and make it bigger in a minute. Then I put a slash, and I put my username. So you're putting in the username that you put in when you went in. And then I put in a slash, and I made a folder, so I put in the folder. And then I put in the name of the page. And hit enter, and there's my page. Okay, let me make this bigger. Okay, so there's the address. It's cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay, this is the host. Then I put in my username. Then I put in the folder if I used a folder. And then I put in the file name. Okay, so that's how I make my address. Host/tilde. The tilde is right under the escape. It's right under the escape. So look for tilde right under the escape. Notice that if you look up at the file, it talks about home and public HTML. Don't use those. The tilde takes the place.
Make sure if you capitalize anything, you capitalize what it is, and .html at the very end.
Very case sensitive.
Yep, and do not put public underscore HTML. It just doesn't make any sense. Or home. Just don't do it.
Now, if you don't use a folder, that's fine. You don't have to have a folder. I just chose to have a folder because I had a gazillion things in there. But it's better
you organize like the folders.
There you go.
It's okay.
Right. You got it?
Okay.
Question?
All right.
Oh, sure.
If I
went out. You can access this address, will get you to your page any place in the world. So you can be in China. You type well. China may have certain restrictions. But you can be anywhere and you can type in the address and bring up the page. So, that's what you've in fact got to do. If you look at the assignments for this week, I said get your page up on the web. And send me the address. And then I'm going to click on the address and hopefully see the page. Okay? So you've got to put your page up on the web and then click on it and it will be there. Okay? Yeah.
Okay. So it's CIS 20.
Yeah.
slash edit it. Try that as homework tips. We have to download, get rid of your up-to-date, so yeah. We'll get the habit of that later. Especially with, like, what are you going to do for a major? Okay, yeah, it would be really important. Okay, no spaces. So, homework two, Yep, sorry. There you go. Anybody else? Yep. I just kind of, I just threw it in there, honestly.
Okay. On the whole, Microsoft did the world a great disservice when they said you can embed spaces in the names of things. Kill that. It's not a good thing to do. Embedding spaces in the names of things.
Oh, yeah, don't do spaces.
Okay, so, you know, in everything, it's just, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's the worst thing that Microsoft ever did, was a lot of spaces. Get rid of them. So if I'm writing something like first 2015, don't write first space 2015. If you gotta have something there, use an underscore. First underscore 2015. But don't use embedded spaces when you name things. Okay? You can get away with it lots of times, but lots of times you can't. So if you just get out of the habit, then you don't have that dilemma.
Yeah. Just if there were like multiple accounts.
Okay. Everybody got it? Now, if you are going to be using an image, what do you got to do? You got to upload the image as well as your page, because it's got to be able to find the image. And remember, this can run anywhere in the world. So it can't look in your computer to find the image. You got to have the image up on the server. Okay, so if you use an image, the image has to be up on the server. Okay. Questions?
So that's what you want us to put the homework is in there, or email it?
Well, I want you to email it to me. That was the first assignment. You're going to get two grades, basically. One's a checkoff, but you get a grade on the page, and then once it's uploaded, that's a checkoff. You either did it or not, didn't do it. But you'll get a second grade, basically, for getting it up on the web.
That was due by the 1st, right?
I think that was due the 1st, and I think the up on the web is due by the 5th. So you've got a few days to play with that, too. But once you've got it done, getting it up on the web. If you haven't had your page all done today, you could have got it up on the web right now. And it would be up there. That's how long it takes to get it up on the web.
If you have any issues, you know, I stay out there for your interview, so I can help you out with that. Easy. And we can write it down and go through it step by step.
And people who have taken advantage of Pat's availability have found that it really is a good thing to do. So, I strongly encourage you, come see Pat.
And if you can't get up here, does he have an email or just...
He has an email, but I also have an email, so you can email me too.
It's going to be Tuesday.
Then you got to work in the labs. That's why we have all these labs. That lab in the middle is almost always available. And so you just do the work here. No, that's fine. It's definitely not a requirement to have it. Okay, anybody else got questions about HTML, about putting it up on the web? Or you're all okay with this? Because if not, ask me questions. Going. Yeah. Yes, you have to write me the page, and then you got to get it up on the server. I'm not done, folks, but you can go if you have to go, but I'm not done. We're going to start talking about the next thing.
Yeah.
Because I've got 15 more minutes. So, yes, you're going to write me the page. That is supposed to send to me by this Sunday. And then by next Thursday, you're supposed to have it up on the web. And then you should send me the address. Having it up on the web means that you send me an address that I can click on and see your page. Okay, so you've got to put together that address and send it to me. Sending it to me and saying it's up on the web doesn't cut it. Okay, you got to send me the address so that I can click on the address and see it.
And you mean literally just this, what you just did if we go to work, send that?
That's right.
It's not a copy paste.
Okay. Yep.
I just emailed it to myself, so I wanted to find it.
I mean, and if you have issues like with that, focus straight on just making your web page and get it in by Sunday. And then afterwards, on Monday, or on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, I'm here and I can go, this is how you do it. And there you go.
Okay.
So on Sunday you want the file and whatever I need.
That's right. I mean, if you get it up on the website, then that's fine. You can just send me the address and give me a twofer.
Yep. Right.
Okay. Okay. So that's where we stand. Next, we are going to start, next week, we're going to start looking at access. And that's what I want to briefly talk about. You should be getting a Dream Spark thing. Have you got it yet? Okay. Dream Spark. Pat, go ahead and talk about it, because you're a student and you know how to do it.
DreamSpark's pretty much a thing by Microsoft that you can download free software. It's for college and for whatever else. They use it for organizations and whatnot. But essentially, you can download Access on there, I'm sure.
And we're using Access 2013 because that's what's in our lab.
Yeah, you just go in there, and they use an ISO file. So what you're going to have to do is like get a CD or DVD to burn it, or you could also mount it onto your drive. But I suggest do the DVD. It's a process. The login, the notes are all on the website. It's a little process, but just download it. It's easy, and once you got it, it's free. There's a whole bunch of other little software things on there you can just download. It's free. I mean, technically you're paying for it, but
they have like full operating systems on there, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes,
yeah, I believe so.
About the only thing, wait a minute.
Yeah, they have 8.1 up there now.
Yeah. So,
explain the tools.
Okay, so if you come here, notes and handouts. So if you click on notes and handouts, you have all of the information about how to download from DreamSpark.
This burn ISO to CD, DVD. That's what you're going to use. Don't use. You'll have the miscellaneous burn CD. Software on your computer. If you have that. Don't use it. Use what they've got in there. It's like Windows Burn, and it'll work just fine. I have problems with just using other software burners, so that's why I said.
And basically, Eric put together this kind of step-by-step directions. So,
When you said we get the Dream Spark, does that mean like we're going to get sent a password or something?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all documented. Yeah. What's the date on it?
Is 6 days ago, January 25th.
January 25th, what's the title? What's the subject?
An account has been created for you.
So yeah, look for that one. An account has been created for you on January 23rd. You'll find it. You can just click on it, go in. You have a question? Okay. So yeah, it's just step by step. It's kind of a nuisance. If you have any issues, you can come to me. I'll try helping you out with this.
That would be another thing. If you're having problems with it, Pat can help you.
Worst comes to worst. Like, if I can't figure it out, help desk can help you. So, but I'll do my best.
Okay. So, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Access 2013. So, if I go in and I click on Access 2013, okay, And basically, once you have it installed at home, I'm going to kind of show you the what you will tell you that it's been installed. So you're going to click on Access 2013.
You can do that too.
Yeah, like right from
the edge. You can do that as well.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to download it, it's fine. It's on all of our computers here at the college. So you can always work on that. Okay, you can always work on our computers if you don't want to download it. Just the downloading is a good thing. So if Access will come up, once you click on Access, okay, quiet please. Go back and click on Access. Okay, so if you come over here and click on Access 2013. And this is what will come up. So at this point, you know that you've installed it, if this is what you see. Yeah.
Side note, you might be able to download it through your email Access, by the way, with the Office Suite. Just go right onto your email. They've got this whole section on like downloading Word and Excel and all that. Just click on Access.
Is Access there?
Yeah,
okay.
Access is there. So.
So once you've got it, what you want to do is you want to create a new database. So you're going to click on blank database. And that's what will come up. So you're going to click on blank database.
Anybody?
Where did you say the Access was on the...
On the desktop?
Yeah. No, for like downloading it at home.
DreamSpark?
DreamSpark. Oh. You follow those instructions through DreamSpark.
I look from there too.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to click on that, and now this is the page that you see. What I would like you to do is then click on this view over here right under File. Click on View. And it says we're going to create a table, and it says give it a name. So I'm going to give it a name of whatever, and it then establishes a table. And I can then go in and create a table. We're going to start doing this on Tuesday. What I was doing is just showing you the few steps so that if you install it, you can kind of experiment and see if it's working, if it's installed correctly. But we're going to start this fresh on Tuesday and go over how Access works. What Access is it's a database system. And a database system is made up of a series of tables where you can store information. So if you work for a company, chances are they have a database that has payroll information on it. Probably not with Access, probably with something else, but they'll have a database with payroll information on it. And so how they got that payroll information is they created a table, and they put data into that table. And then once they have that table set up, the information is saved, and they can go in and access it anytime they want information. Okay? So basically, this sets up a table, and then I can say I want to have an ID number, and I want my ID number to be a number. And I want to have a name, and I want, only it doesn't like me to use the name, so I spell it names. And I'm going to make that a short text. And I can keep putting data in there and create a table.
Yeah.
Then I can say, okay, stop that. And now I want to put in somebody's ID number and somebody's name. And so that ends up creating a table of information. So there's 111 is John, 112 is Anne, and so forth. So I can create a table. As I said, I'm just doing this so that if you get it installed, you can play a little bit. We're going to start fresh on Tuesday looking at access. Yeah.
I was going to say, could you bring up the font size, the 11? If you put like the 14, I don't know if it'll make it bigger.
Yeah.
See if people sweating. There you go. Is that a little better?
That's a little better.
Okay. We can fix that up after.
But essentially, we'll play with this starting on Tuesday. But if you download it and you want to find out if it's working, you can do this.